1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. Israel Defense Forces now say they hit the Jabalia refugee camp, targeting and killing one of the leaders of Hamas. Jabalia is the largest refugee camp in Gaza and located in North Gaza, where airstrikes and ground battles are intensifying. ABC's Inez de la Cutera is in Israel.
This is the biggest refugee camp in Gaza, one of the most densely populated areas in Gaza. They say they were targeting terrorists, including one of the masterminds behind the October 7th attacks. But images we're seeing seem to show that civilians here are likely the most affected.
On Capitol Hill, Congress is weighing funding for Israel. The Biden administration is calling for more than $100 billion in emergency aid for Israel, Ukraine, Taiwan, and border security. The House says it wants to split up funding aid. In Boston, the antitrust trial involving JetBlue's plan to buy Spirit Airlines is underway. The Justice Department has antitrust concerns and is suing, claiming the loss of low-cost Spirit will push airline prices higher, hurting consumers. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is suing the Wisconsin legislature over pay raises denied to University of Wisconsin employees. A joint committee is holding up the pay raises, even though they've been approved in the state budget by the full legislature and signed by the governor.
When we tell 35,000 Wisconsinites to stick it, you're not going to get your raise until we negotiate something. That's not in law.
Evers wants the state Supreme Court to take the case directly. Meanwhile, Evers is noncommittal about signing a Republican bill to address dangerous PFAS chemicals in Wisconsin. Evers tells the Wisconsin Eye Public Affairs Network the bill doesn't hold anyone accountable. It takes away the powers and the authority of the Department of Natural Resources and sets no standards for groundwater. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is trying to rally Democrats in the state Senate to approve a bill funding upgrades to American Family Field in Milwaukee. The bill would use roughly $550 million in tax revenue for renovations at the home stadium of the Milwaukee Brewers and guarantee they stay in the city until at least 2050. The bill has already been approved by the state assembly with bipartisan support, but some Senate Republicans are not sold on the plan and more Senate Democrats are needed to pass it. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call are once again calling on the state Supreme Court to throw out current legislative maps, this time in a response brief filed yesterday. Evers also took to Twitter, stating, "It's not simple. Not one more election should be held under the gerrymandered maps we have now, and we must have new maps in place before the next election." The state Supreme Court recently voted to accept a case challenging the legislative maps. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Bucks beat the Heat. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat 122-114. Milwaukee led a 25-point lead early in the game slip away. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 33 points and said they got help from their bench players. By the way, if this sounds funny, it's because Giannis came to the press conference wearing an incredible Hulk mask for Halloween.
So coming in the second, I feel like in this game, like, brought so much energy for us. We got to keep on doing that.
Elsewhere in the NBA, the 76ers traded James Harden to the LA Clippers. Harden has been asking to be traded out of Philly since June. NFL, the Lions beat the Raiders 26-14. On Monday Night Football, Detroit sacked Raiders quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo six times. Davante Adams only caught one pass. The Packers' Rashawn Gary says he signed his new contract worth over $100 million just before Sunday's game against the Vikings.
It was great for me. I was able to have my mom and sister in town, and a contract like that, words can't really describe the feeling.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast tonight with lows around 18. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 36 tomorrow, cloudy. Tomorrow night, lows around 20. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 33.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that. Welcome to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making, and we will go to the lines first. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Dick?
Matt, I'm just wondering if I got this right, talking about Trump now. You know, I think we're down to our last bullet, and that would be the judicial branch of the government, because legislative on January 6th and thereafter had a chance of stopping all of this, correct? They could have done the right thing, and a few people tried, and a couple even said the right things and then turned around and started backing Trump again. So now between these states trying to take him off the ballot and all these charges that he's up against, I see it as the court system's about all we got left to stop this craziness.
Yeah, I think so, although I'll give you a couple of – here's my deep concern about this. 60 judges, a few more actually, all around the country, state, federal, Trump appointments, Democratic appointments, all unanimously in separate cases said that there was not fraud to any meaningful extent that would have affected the election at all. And one of the odd things is a lot of the frauds were stupid individual frauds. Frequently, they were Republicans who committed the fraud because they were more likely to have a second home. And so what they'll do is they'll vote absentee for their cottage up in Eagle River and then their house in Milwaukee, and they get caught. So the judiciary stood tall with us. The military stood tall with us. You know, in Africa and Asia, you'll see the military taking sides. That didn't happen here because West Point, Annapolis, the Air Force Academy, the Coast Guard Academy, the Merchant Marine Academy, they all have it drilled into them that citizens run the government and they shouldn't interfere. And I think that will continue. The other thing is the press. The press is the so-called fourth estate. The press, the major, the networks, yes, you had Fox, but you also had ABC, CBS, NBC, MSNBC, and CNN. You had the big newspapers. And by and large, even the Wall Street Journal, a Republican newspaper, didn't really buy into this fraud thing at all. So I think we have some very powerful institutions. My fear is this. There were a number of cases in Michigan and Pennsylvania stand out to me where the MAGA folks tried to get the local polling authorities to question the vote or change the vote. And these were Republican appointees. In a lot of these areas, you get two Republicans and two Democrats, that kind of thing. They stood tall. In Michigan, there's a commission that's supposed to certify the electoral vote. And I think it's two and two, I think, something of that nature. It's tied. And one of the Republicans joined the two Democrats and said, yes, if they hadn't, then Michigan's votes wouldn't have been certified and the Supreme Court would have had to, the U.S. Supreme Court would have had to figure it out. And if that had happened, I don't trust Clarence Thomas. I don't trust Alito and I don't trust Gorsuch at all. I don't trust him at all. So what happens next time when these sort of minor poll authorities, except they're going to be major when it comes to certifying votes, somehow are bad people, not good people. What happens next time if instead of Trump appointing attorneys general who were Republicans, but they weren't going to go along with this fraud, suppose he appointed a guy like Jeffrey Clark attorney general? You know, suppose he appointed instead of Tillotson and some, you know, Secretary of State and Mattis, Secretary of Defense, and John Kelly as Chief of Staff. What if he appointed Eastman and Giuliani and Chesbro? What then? And the fear is that he may then, yes, they do take confirmation in the Senate, but if the Senate turned Republican, all it takes is 51 senators. This is how in Berlin in 1932, the Nazi Party slowly took control of the German government. And I'm not analogizing the Republican Party, the Nazi Party overall, because there's no prospect of a Holocaust and so forth. But in terms of the tactic of essentially a minority party taking over the government, the blueprint of that occurred in 1932. And we have to be very, very wary that it does not happen again. Thanks a lot for calling, Dick, as always. I'm very concerned, much more so than a lot of people, about how Trump's threats to judges, witnesses, prosecutors, anybody involved or a civil case against him, how it can and has resulted in violence. Here's some examples. Yesterday, there was an indictment unsealed. I did not know about it, neither did you or anybody else, till it was unsealed. A man from Alabama had threatened Fannie Willis, the terrific district attorney in Atlanta, who is going after Trump and another, 13, 18 defendants. I forget how many there are left. He's charged with two counts of interstate threats against Fannie Willis and against the Fulton County Sheriff, a guy named Pat Labatt. Now, some prosecutors have just said, and I agree with them, Trump has crossed the line. All of these attacks on Jack Smith, on Letitia James, and Fannie Willis have resulted in threats, and one of these days they're going to result in violence. And here's an example. Here's an example. Just now, the U.S. Marshal, and then I'll go to the line, so don't hang up. The U.S. Marshals had to clear a courtroom and rush a judge out of the room for his safety after one of the Capitol rioters fought security, and apparently he's described as a huge guy. And it took 7 or 8 cops to wrestle him down, knocked a computer off a table, almost overturned the table, and was making guttural noises, as they described it. His name is Vitali Gostjankowski, and he had committed felonies, violent felonies, on January 6th. He was ordered to jail. Now, while he was awaiting sentencing, so he was convicted, then you come back for sentencing, he had made threats against the police officer who testified against him. So they brought him back to jail, and the judge sentenced him to jail right then and there. He said, you're not free anymore. You're going to stay in jail until I sentence you. And the guy, when they came to try to handcuff him, because that's the protocol to go to jail, hit the cops. He was described as huge and strong. He was violent, very violent. As I say, he knocked the computer off the table in the courtroom. They had to get the judge out of there because he was going for the judge. This is the kind of passion Trump engenders. crooked Donald Trump engenders, and people are going down all over the place, at a loyalty to him, and he's not loyal to them. He's got to shut his mouth. That's why these gag orders have to be enforced, and they may have to be enforced by putting him in a jail cell for 10 days to humiliate him and make it clear what he's doing. Going to the lines, Tom in West Allis, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hey, good afternoon. Real quick to what you were just saying, yeah, I really, really wish they would put Trump away, because, like they said, someone's going to die. Something bad is going to happen, and I think they're just playing with him too much. I understand they're giving him some rope, and they're giving him too much rope, and he isn't hanging himself yet. So I'm hoping that nothing that bad happens, that someone gets seriously injured or dies. But my other statement I was going to make is more of a crystal ball kind of thing. Being that the Democrats are known to kind of not really have a strong spine or anything, if all turns out well, Wisconsin, the gerrymandering goes away, and we actually get a real legislature there, and with the United States, if we can win the House back and stuff, what do you think the odds are that the Democrats are actually going to do the right thing and pass laws, create laws, pass them, that this stuff can't happen anymore, that they can't gerrymander, they can't try to take over the government, that no coups can happen, that they nullify these things that the Republicans have been doing?
You know, that's a good question. And the answer is yes, they can, and I'm confident they will. What you've just described is largely the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act was enacted in the early 60s, and 60 years ago, roughly. And it held sway until Clarence Thomas got some billionaire contributions, shall we say. In other words, he stuck them in his pocket. And in Shelby County, and I think that was about 15 years ago, 14 years ago, the court ruled that the Voting Rights Act was, quote, no longer needed, end quote. Who the heck are they? They're not legislatures. They're very much needed. If that decision had not come about, now it was 5-4, all of these states would have had to have appealed to the Justice Department, submitted to the Justice Department these crooked laws that they wanted to enact. For instance, in Texas, that Houston, Harris County, the largest county in the state and the only Democratic county, the Secretary of State on his own can overturn any election if he feels that there was fraud and order a new election. That would never have gotten by the Justice Department. In Georgia, the prohibition against anybody giving anybody even water in line on a hot day, that wouldn't have gotten in. What DeSantis has done in Florida about screwing felons, former felons who have paid their debt to society, paid everything, and he's barring them from voting, and B, criminalizing voting so that they're afraid to vote. That wouldn't have gotten in. The Voting Rights Act, the John Lewis Act, and we had the votes, but the fact is that it was filibustered by the Republicans. Excellent call, as always. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Do not hang up. I see you.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to go right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. I see you. Hoosier Bob, my friend. Thanks for calling us reminded. Hoosier Bob.
How are you, Matt?
I'm good, Bob. Thank you.
Okay.
What do you got?
A caller or two back, there was a gentleman speaking about, you know, somebody's going to get hurt. There's going to be violence, et cetera, et cetera. What about Paul Pelosi? We've already seen massive violence. They tried to kill that poor man.
Right. You know, you're making a good point, and I'm going to leave you. Thank you for calling. I want to leave you with a very sad thing. One of our competitors, and we have other radio stations obviously around, and one of them is sort of a right-wing station. When Paul Pelosi, who's an 82-year-old man, had his skull cracked, hit over the head with a hammer by a younger guy, that station laughed about it, and they played If I Had a Hammer. Remember the folk song, If I Had a Hammer? Had hammer in the morning and hammer in the evening. That is disgusting. That was disgusting. And that's the kind of stuff that's happening out there. You're absolutely right. There already has been violence. And if Trump keeps shooting his mouth off, crooked Donald Trump, there's going to be more violence. And they're now indicting people like this guy from Alabama against Fannie Willis. And this guy making guttural noises, they said. He was huge and strong. And it took 7 or 8 cops to get him down and take him out. He's going after the judge. This is what's going on with that MAGA crowd. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Steve?
Hi, Matt. I'm just, I don't know about you, but I'm getting really impatient with the leeway that they've been giving Trump with all of this stuff that he's been pulling. And we're in serious trouble because if our judicial system doesn't hold up and we don't get control of the House next year, we might just go the way of Russia, because we already have kind of an oligarchy going on with the way that they've been corruptly bribing people. And, you know, you have the NRA and you have the big pharma, and they're all just, all the politicians just try to play this hokey game where they don't want to really move the bar at all. They just make excuses.
Yeah, that was well said. That's an excellent call. Let me build on that. It's an important point. And two things. One, what can be done to shut Trump's mouth? And I don't mean politically. I don't give a darn what he says. But the threats, the covert, sneaky threats, sort of mafia-like threats, like, boy, it'd be a shame if something happened to you, you know, that kind of thing. And then he juices people up. I strongly think that fines alone is not enough. He got fined $5,000, then $10,000 by the judge in New York. That's chump change to him. He'll take it out of one of the funds that he raised money under false pretenses. And all it does is give him a headline with his base. If you or I did what he did and lathered people up so that they went after Fannie Willis, which is what he did, and Jack Smith had to move out of his house and he has security now, all of the judges and prosecutors in cases involving Trump have security. A judge would look at him and say, that's contempt. That's criminal contempt. To my face, you have gone after my clerk twice. Then you lied. This is the guy in New York. Lied about it and kept it up on your website, even though you said you'd take it down. You would go to jail. Now, the sad thing is if you were a person of modest means or a poor guy, he'd stick you in jail till the trial. I'm not kidding. He would just revoke your bail. With Trump, to do that, and here's the problem when you say cut him some slack or cut him some rope. The guy's running for president. He's a former president. What you don't want is the six tarantulas on the Supreme Court weighing in and letting him out. But one thing this Judge Erdogan could do in New York is to say, you are in contempt, Mr. Trump, and I order you to spend 10 days in a jail cell here, right here in a secure facility in the courthouse. The Secret Service can be in there with you or have the adjacent one. You're not going to have any more privacy than anybody else. You're under 24-hour surveillance, and you're going to follow the rules of this jail. Now, when we let you out in 10 days, if you do it again, it'll be 30 days. Now, I think Trump has a sense of humiliation and he has a sense of proportion in an odd, perverted way. It's one thing to be fined 15 grand. It's quite another thing to be in a jail cell. And that would be attacked on appeal and blah, 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 blah. All right, let the judicial system sort it out. But you can't permit him to continue to lie and to make physical attacks or threats that result in physical attacks and threats against judges, prosecutors, and witnesses and clerks. You just can't do it. Something's got to be done. He's irascible. He's essentially beyond control, and he's a sociopath. So I would put him in jail for 10 days and then let that be tested up through the appellate process. And one thing I want to say to you and to everybody else who are sounding the alarm and the death knell of our democracy is going to be fine. These crooks, these violent crooks who are trying to overturn it are not going to succeed. And there's a little bit of hope in two special elections that just happened. The GOP lost two races just now in New Hampshire and Pennsylvania, special elections. In New Hampshire, there was a special election in District 1, Rockingham County. The Democratic candidate flipped a Republican seat. He not only flipped a Republican seat, he won 56-44. And this is a seat that Trump had taken. So our Democrat beat a very presentable Republican candidate in a red seat just now in New Hampshire, 56-44 in Rockingham County. Trump edged out Biden 49.1% to 48.7%. 12 points flipping that, just like Jenna Protasiewicz doing it by 11.5 points, is significant. And in Pennsylvania, the Democrat beat the Republican. And the Republicans lost in a special election. And the Republicans lost 12 seats in the 2022 elections, legislative seats, in Pennsylvania. Since 1989, so it's almost 45 years, there has been a very, very almost precise correlation around the country between the party that wins special elections just before another election and how they did in that other election. And winning special elections usually translates into House votes and House majorities. So I'm cautiously optimistic. They are going to try all sorts of cheating things in the elections. I get it. They're doing it in this state, trying to get rid of Megan Wolf and all that. But I think we're going to hold, and I think we are going to take the House back in 2024. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Connecting with you
on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican lawmakers are moving ahead with a $2 billion tax cut that Governor Evers is certain to veto. The bill would cut the individual income tax rate in the third bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. Evers vetoed a similar proposal in the state budget. The bill would also increase a state income tax credit for those who claim their kids as dependents on their federal taxes. More teenagers are getting jobs in Wisconsin. The number of young people applying for work permits went up by 27% between 2019 and last year. That represents more than 37,000 workers. Republican lawmakers are trying to eliminate work permits. They say they're an unnecessary burden. On the other hand, fees from work permits pay for enforcing labor standards in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is calling on the students of Wisconsin to send homemade ornaments to the state capitol for this year's holiday tree. The theme for this year's tree is 175 years of Wisconsin, and Governor Evers says its residents are the thing that's made Wisconsin great for 175 years. If students are interested in mailing in an ornament, it should be around 4 to 6 inches in size and a color that contrasts with the tree, and have a 10-inch loop of ribbon or string to hang it on. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers is considering a veto of a bill aimed at supporting communities struggling with PFAS contamination. In an interview with Wisconsin Eye, Governor Evers said the bill does not hold anybody accountable and takes away the powers and the authority of the Department of Natural Resources. Governor Evers did not fully commit to a veto of the bill when it reaches his desk, but says he thinks the current plan hamstrings the Department of Natural Resources on the issue. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WLAK News.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Bucks beat the Heat.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks beat the Miami Heat 122-114. Milwaukee let a 25-point lead early in the game slip away. Giannis Antetokounmpo had 33 points and said they got help from their bench players. By the way, if this sounds funny, it's because Giannis came to the press conference wearing an incredible Hulk mask for Halloween.
So coming in the second half, I feel like in this game, like, brought so much energy for us. We got to keep on doing that.
Elsewhere in the NBA, the 76ers traded James Harden to the LA Clippers. Harden has been asking to be traded out of Philly since June. NFL, the Lions beat the Raiders 26-14. On Monday Night Football, Detroit sacked Raiders quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo 6 times. Davante Adams only caught 1 pass. The Packers' Rashawn Gary says he signed his new contract worth over $100 million just before Sunday's game against the Vikings.
It was great for me. I was able to have my mom and sister in town, and a contract like that, words can't really describe the feeling.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast tonight with lows around 18. Westerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. 36 tomorrow, cloudy. Tomorrow night, lows around 20. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 34.
Timeout.
Oh, right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Okay.
is a burning thing.
Welcome back to Matchland Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We'll go right to the lines. Joe with Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Hey, thanks, Matt. I wanted to make a comment and then ask you a question. The first thing I wanted to say was that...
Thank you for calling.
Yes.
If you can hear me, what is on your mind today?
I can hear you, Matt. Yeah, I wanted to make a comment and then ask a question.
Joe, I think there is some kind of a... Maybe there's some kind of a glitch, and when Anya gets you on the air, maybe try calling back. I'm not sure. I'd love to hear your comments. And in the meantime, as you're calling back, I mentioned Megan Wolf in that sort of sneaky way. Republicans in this state are trying to sow chaos. Glad to say that a judge just ruled that the Senate attempt to, quote, fire, end quote, Megan Wolf has no effect. She stays on. Fortunately, she stays on as the executive director of the Wisconsin Election Commission. Because remember something, the whole objective in destroying democracy, and this was pioneered back in Berlin in the 1930s, and it's happening again, are three things: violence, chaos, and fraud. Violence, chaos, and fraud. We're going back to the lines. Joe, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Joe?
Hey, Matt, can you hear me now?
I sure can. Yeah, great.
Oh, great. Great, great, great. Okay, so just two things, Matt. First off, I wanted to make a comment and then also ask you a question. The first comment I would make is that I had said after Michael Johnson was won that election by the Republicans to become the head of the House. I had said at that time, this man strikes me as being it's Trump's house now. You know, that this man is just a facilitator by the work that he had done in terms of the January 6th coup, and in terms of the work that he had done in terms of getting the over 100 legislators to sign on to the piece of legal matter that basically challenged our elections in Wisconsin. I mean, the guy is Trump's puppet. I have realized, right, and I would like your thought about this, that I have not gone far enough, that instead it looks like Michael Johnson is more accurately described, as Trump is described, as Putin's puppet. I wasn't aware that Michael Johnson had received in his campaign over $30,000 from a company called American, it's Ethane, it's E-T-H-A-N-E. I may be mispronouncing the last part of it. And the American part of it is really a pretty distracting and not true, because apparently this had been laundered, if you will, through Russians, including a Russian who was associated with Marina Butina. Gee, remember her name? And
yeah.
I didn't realize this, but the FEC had actually fined Johnson for taking money, because you're not supposed to, in domestic campaigns, take money from foreign corporations. And he received a fine, but not a very big one, and some Democrats were quite incensed about this. So I have this in mind, as this guy is, you know, he is not about a fair game. He is all about dismantling whatever he can, and it is not just that he is Trump's house. I believe it's Putin's house. So the question I would ask you, there was one person who was saying, okay, look, we're only several weeks away from a shutdown of the government, and we've often gone to the brink, but what if this time it goes beyond the brink? What if all of the stuff that's going on, and with this nutball in charge, pushing, and absolutely happy to have chaos within our government, what happens then? And this person said, well, Biden does have the power to declare emergency power to reopen the government and to defy the Supreme Court to stop him. He said that emergency powers are what the presidents say they are. And he went back to Lincoln's time and said that there were times when he claimed emergency powers prior to the Civil War. Now, I shouldn't want to go down the Civil War, but I would be interested as a lawyer to hear what your thoughts are about, if it gets that bad, if we have that much chaos, could Biden just simply declare emergency power and reopen the government? I'd be anxious to hear what you have to say on that. Thanks a lot, Matt.
Yeah, excellent call as always, Joe. Thank you so much for calling. Yeah, let me say two things. One, I also thank you for giving me that information about the Russian contribution to Mike Johnson. I had not known that. And one of the things that bothers me then is, you know, the Federal Election Commission is equally split between Democrats and Republicans, so they never agree on anything. But if you take money from Russia, I think there should be a criminal inquiry in that, not just slap on the wrist. Of course, he'll say he didn't know it. Maria Butina, in case nobody remembers, is a Russian spy who sort of got herself in with male Republicans. There's a picture of Scott Walker with her, with Maria Butina. Maria Butina was unleashed as a spy, unearthed, and then she spent time in jail in the United States, and then she was part of a swap. She's now in the Russian Duma, which is the equivalent of their parliament, mouthing off about the United States. So that is very concerning. And secondly, I think you're absolutely right. He's not only servile to Trump, but he's servile to Putin, because he, independently of Trump, you know, occasionally says, well, Russian communism was bad. Well, technically, Russian communism ended when Gorbachev and Yeltsin changed the country. But Putin was a Russian communist. He was a high-ranking official in the old KGB. He was deputy mayor of St. Petersburg. And I see in his statement limiting his criticism of Russia to the communist era, when the present regime is exactly like the communists, except they don't call themselves communists, they're mafia. That's disturbing. Secondly, it's disturbing that he does not, he's spoken against Ukraine aid. He's split it out of this bill. I'm very concerned that he's made up his mind. He's sort of a shiny-eyed little Tartuffe, but I agree with you. I think he is somehow attracted to authoritarianism and to Trump and Putin. Very, very dangerous, because I remind everybody that nothing goes on the floor except in rare circumstances to be even voted on if he doesn't permit it. Even if there's a majority in his caucus, if he doesn't permit it. He was absolutely a Trojan horse, and it's very dangerous. With regard to the emergency powers, I think you may be referring to martial law, which, yes, Biden can invoke. Trump was tempted to invoke it. He tried to, and his advisor said don't, over the election, and they were going to seize the voting machines and then, quote, inspect them, end quote, i.e. alter them or destroy them. And that was a bridge too far for even his most avid supporters. But it's very funny you raise that, because in my daydreams occasionally I think, what would happen if, God forbid, we got into a nuclear war? And let's say Pakistan launched a nuclear missile, or Russia launched one in Europe. And you had a senator, Tommy Tuberville, who wouldn't let our admirals and generals be promoted. You had a House under Mike Johnson that wouldn't authorize any money to run the government. And you had obstructionists who, frankly, hate the United States. What I would do, and I assume Biden would do, is you absolutely would have to declare martial law to protect the United States. I would go further and take a number of members of Congress, the Senate, and the Supreme Court, and arrest them. And fly them to Guantanamo, treat them well, but keep them incommunicado, and then just announce to the nation that we are in a life and death struggle, and we can't tolerate traitors in our government, and that we will restore the Congress after this is over. Now, that I've just posited a scenario that's the most extreme, but you're positing one that's comes very close, because we have two shooting wars going on, Ukraine and in Israel, number one. Number two, you have the Chinese menacing Taiwan all the time. You have North Korea menacing everybody all the time. And you have traitors in our Congress. And I've got to say, this is a very sad way to put it, but except for Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, Romney, and I think even Mitch McConnell, people who are somewhat moderate, the average Republican in Congress is a 180-pound sack of fraud and treason in hominid form. I mean, that is really the way I look at Mike Johnson. I look at Gymnasium Jim G.Y.M. Jordan. Hey, look at all these guys. It's fraud. And so, yes, what Biden could do is, I declare martial law, I suspend the writ of habeas corpus. You can't go to court and claim anything. And what I'm going to do is, I am going to direct my Secretary of the Treasury and the Fed to issue the money, which they would do anyway, issue bonds, treasury notes, full faith and credit of the United States. We will fund our military and our programs. Yes, he can do that. And if the Supreme Court says he can't, then you have a constitutional crisis, but the Supreme Court doesn't have an army and doesn't have a police force. I think we're getting, I hope, too far ahead of ourselves. I'm hoping that saner things prevail, but the one thing that gives me pause that triggers it, as you mention it, I think that Mike Johnson is going to put on a continuing resolution to fund the government, but he's going to go back on everything in soft infrastructure and every deal that McCarthy and Biden entered into, and he will cut budgets by 10 or 15 or 20% and cripple the government and say, that's our best offer. He is a very dangerous individual. Going to the lines, Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's on your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, I found with some bemusement, not really amusement, that Tommy Tuberville was shooting his mouth off and said, oh, I wish we could go back to the days of Code Duel, the Code Duel Code. And I go, well, you know, so he could, apparently he wants to challenge people to duels. But what he has forgotten, and I have read from my understanding of history, if you challenge somebody for a duel, they get to choose the weapon. It's a weapon of their choice, not your choice, Mr. Tuberville. And you might have shot your mouth, you might shoot your mouth off and overstep yourself in your ridiculous little statement.
You know, Mark, I got a comment on that before the break. That's brilliant. Here's an anecdote. Muhammad Ali, before he was Muhammad Ali, his name was Cassius Clay. Okay, Cassius Clay. Cassius Clay was a plantation owner in the South pre-Civil War, and he was kind of a lurid guy. He was made ambassador to Moscow, and when he was in Moscow, he slept with the wives of a lot of people in the Russian government who didn't like it, and one of them challenged him to a duel. And he said, all right, I will duel you, and I pick bowie knives. And apparently he was an expert with a bowie knife. And the other guy had to back down. He was a bad guy. He's a skunk, and that's why Muhammad Ali changed his name. But that said, you're right. If you're challenged to a duel, you can take your weapon. If you're a good fencer, maybe you just take a sword. But, you know, why do we have a senator, Tuberville, who says he's a white supremacist, and says a Republican is a white supremacist and a supporter of Trump is a white supremacist and American is a white supremacist, and he wants to fight duels and he wants to demoralize our military? And why are we letting him get away with it? Why are we letting him get away with it? Why do we have unanimous consent? It's unconstitutional. The idea behind the Senate is majority rules. Unanimous consent is nothing more than a way for people who want to betray the United States, injure the United States, stand up for Putin. He's also said, by the way, well, we shouldn't take sides in the Middle East. We should stop funding everybody. We shouldn't take sides between Russia and Ukraine. What he's really saying is he's on Russia's side. This guy's a despicable human being, and he is using the rules of the Senate and the filibuster and unanimous consent to single-handedly demoralize our military. And nobody is doing anything about it. Anything about it. Nobody is proposing a resolution to expel him from the Senate. Nobody's trying to pressure him out of the Senate the way they went after Al Franken. They're doing nothing. And this is a very, very sad day for America. But this too will pass. This too will pass. And we will prevail. Going to break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, burns, burns.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Bad luck, wind been blowing at
me. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to address the problem, the division in our party. It's very real. Over the attack by Hamas on Israel and Israel's response and the increasing anti-Semitism in this country. And I remind everybody, anti-Semitism is racism. It's racism. There are different kinds of racism directed at different groups. Anti-Semitism is racism. Here is an example of what is occurring in our legislatures, to say nothing of our universities. Right after the October 7 attack, it wasn't an attack. They went in, defenseless people, Hamas. They raped women. They tortured people before they killed them. The IDF, the Israeli army, is still finding just small pieces of body parts around those areas, body parts. They kidnapped, 240 people or more. Many of them were children. Kidnapped a three-year-old boy. He's there without his parents. Kidnapped very, very young kids. So there was a resolution in Congress right after that. 412-10, it passed, condemning Hamas as a terror organization. In fact, Hamas is Islamic Jihad, identical to ISIS, identical to Al-Qaeda. They're not a governing party. They're out to kill and destroy the West, and they're using Jews and they're using Israel as the surrogate symbol of that right now. 16 congressmen voted no on that resolution, or just present. 15 of them Democrats, one was a Republican. A Democratic representative from New Jersey, Josh Gottheimer, who's I think a very effective congressman, put out a statement. He said, last night, 15 of my Democratic colleagues voted against standing with our ally Israel and condemning Hamas terrorists who brutally raped, murdered, and kidnapped babies, children, women, men, elderly, including Americans. They are despicable and do not speak for our party. That was the statement. I agree with the statement. Andre Carson of Indianapolis, one of the people who voted against the resolution, shot back. He called Gottheimer a coward, a punk, and a gangster. This is to one of our most effective congressmen. Not only that, here in Wisconsin, five legislators, one state senator, and four members of the assembly, either voted present, and this is true of three members of the assembly, or voted against a similar resolution in our state legislature, or put out statements basically saying that there's some equivalence here and standing up for what Hamas had done without mentioning Hamas in particular. This is very dangerous. It feeds on anti-Semitism around the country. I've told you about in Cornell, the kids, Jewish kids, are you know, they have to be wary about going to class and going to eat. Anti-Semitism is being spread by extremists in this country. Some of them are native extremists, but many of them are people who came from the Middle East from jihadist cultures. It's a mistake to let jihad into this country through immigration. We mentioned before in Dagestan, that's a province of Russia, largely Muslim. Crowds swarmed an airplane from Tel Aviv to kill the passengers. People had to hide elsewhere in the airport or on the plane. Now, it is essential that the Democratic Party stand up against anti-Semitism with one voice, one clear voice. In 1960, John Kennedy was elected president, and he stood up loud and clear with a voice for his whole party against racism against black people in the South. His assassination eventually led to the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, and a lot of the legislation we take for granted today. But what we have is a phenomenon that's going through society, and some people on the progressive side, so-called progressive side, are looking on it as a political issue, and under the guise of sometimes criticizing Israel, but frequently dropping that pretense, frequently saying, carrying swastika flags, the Democratic Party does not put up with that. Let the word go forth. The Democratic Party does not put up with that. Anti-Semitism is racism. We are not going to tolerate it. And we're not going to tolerate in our party, and we're not going to tolerate in our country. Going to the lines, Dave in Madison, my friend, thank you for calling. What's in your mind today?
Yeah, where else does a small subset of people that call themselves leftists, although I would dispute that, try to minimize the mass rape of women, violence against women on this scale, as a systemic violence against women, as a weapon of war, and by a right-wing radical organization, theocratic, ethnocentric? Where else does anyone on the left try to minimize that? It's nowhere. I can't think of any other context. So, you know, this is the only conclusion that any person, in hearing the same or similar things could draw is that this is anti-Semitism. And I think it's horrible. And I appreciate you calling it out.
Thank you, David. I agree with you 100%. It is. It's racism. And I have no tolerance for it. And I got news for you. I'm speaking as a former chairman of the Democratic Party. Our party has no tolerance for it. So knock it off. Knock it off. And this message has got to be spread, not just in the Democratic Party. It's got to be spread. I mean, in the Republican Party, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene right now and Massey of Kentucky, who are not going to vote for any more aid to Israel. You have them, Massey was one of the ones, Republican, voting against the resolution. But this has got to be spread to the university. It's not cool, kids, to be doing this stuff. Your kids, you're just learning, knock it off. Anti-Semitism is racism, and we're not putting up with racism. We're coming to the end of the show. There are other people on the line. I'm sorry I can't get to you all. Call tomorrow. Great show. Stand by for another great show. Diamond Crute, Devil's Advocate. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today.
Me the number when I was young. They just gave me the number when I was young.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Say it with me, the Boxing Six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.